Hello, and welcome to TwerpCast, episode 59, OscarCast 2012. This year will be our fifth annual outing to discuss the Oscars. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, executive producer Jim Caswell.
And he's Doug Zeitler, co-executive producer of Twerps, and a man who's well known for having a voice for silent film.
2012 marks the 84th annual Academy Awards.
We've spent 5 years now talking about the ups and the downs of the Academy Awards and the fact that we feel as though they're a bit separated from the general moviegoer in the fact that they try to embrace the artsy side as opposed to the real moneymakers. Correct?
Correct.
Well, this year they've done it in spades. I can honestly say that here and now, before the Oscars have aired, there's really only one thing that I'm looking forward to, and that's the return of Billy Crystal as the host. I used to really enjoy the show that he would put forward as the host, and I hope that he can recapture some of that magic 20 years later.
You know, I guess I don't begrudge the Academy being pretentious. It's just that, I guess it makes the awards just that much meaningless to the average person.
Yeah, when you have movies that are nominated, that are probably going to win, that nobody heard of before the award nominations were announced, there's too big of a gap. You can't identify with your audience. You might as well just hold the awards in the back rooms like they did back during the first annual Academy Awards, as opposed to trying to make it into this huge event when it's not anymore. And this is coming from somebody who was a diehard Academy Awards fan, and I feel like they've just separated themselves too much.
Well, they don't call themselves the Pop Culture Awards.
True. That one's on MTV in the summer.
And usually, in my opinion, the show on MTV is actually better than the Oscars.
Up until the point where the newest Twilight film wins everything.
Well, again, it is the Pop Culture Awards, and just because you and I aren't 17-year-old girls...
Well, I'm not a 17-year-old girl. It's almost like we need to have our own award show. Oh, wait, we do. It's called OscarCast. That being said, let's talk a little bit about the films that were nominated so that we can get on to the important stuff and tell people our opinion about our favorite movies. I think to get things started, we should hit on two of the categories that don't have foregone conclusions because the Academy Award winners have already won awards in other ceremonies. Probably the one that caught most people off guard was the Best Musical Score category. A lot of times, the most recent Disney film gets thrown in here. There's a few other pieces here and there that get nominated. Elton John doing the music for Romeo and Juliet, which was a movie that he produced. The fact that he doesn't have any nominations is kind of a shock. Madonna won the Golden Globe for some music that she did this year. She wasn't nominated. Nobody who was up for the Golden Globe was nominated this year. And as a very odd circumstance, the category only has two nominees this year, whereas normally it has five.
And the nominees are...
Man or Muppet from The Muppets by Brett McKenzie. Real in Rio from Rio by Stephanie Mendez, Carlin Hose Brown, and Saidiya Garrett.
Say that 10 times fast.
I had trouble saying it once. Slow. Seeing as we have no precedent to make a guess here, I've got to go on instinct and the fact that I actually saw The Muppets. And hope that Man or Muppet gets the award.
I'm a big Muppet fan from way back, but having seen both The Muppets and Rio, I think Real in Rio is actually a better song.
I haven't actually seen Rio, so I'll take your word for it. But I know that I will be very happy if during the Academy Awards they have Jim Parsons come on out to sing his part of the duet of Man or Muppet. My whole family went to go see The Muppets Christmas Day, and over the process of this past fall, we became huge Big Bang Theory fans, and when Jim Parsons was on the screen singing, we all went, "Wow, it's Sheldon! And he's singing!" Yeah, we've turned into big geeks. Big shocker there, right? So that might actually be our tiebreaker this year.
Oh, no, I still hope Man or Muppet gets it. I just don't think it will.
Ah, gotcha. So you're hedging your bets and picking both.
You got it.
The other unpredictable category is Best Animated Film. Now, a lot of times, it's pretty easy to pick out which animated film is going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, you just go, what did Pixar do this year?
Exactly. But for a change of pace, Pixar's movie didn't get nominated. I would say that they didn't pick Cars 2 because it was a sequel, but they have two other sequels on the nominee, and neither one of them were as good as Cars 2 was.
On the one hand, it's shocking that it's absent. On the other hand, I guess I could see letting somebody else have a chance.
Unfortunately, letting somebody else have a chance means it's probably going to go to an animated movie that nobody's ever heard of. Of course, Best Picture is going to go to a movie that nobody ever heard of either, so... The nominees for Best Animated Feature are...
Cat in Paris by Alan Gagnol and Jean-Luc Felice something. Chico and Rita by Fernando Trouba and Javier Mariscal. Kung Fu Panda 2, Jennifer Yu Nelson. Puss in Boots, Chris Miller. Rango by Gore Verbinski.
Okay, I can say that the three big-name movies there, I did see. Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango. I still say that Cars 2 is a better film than all three of those. That being said, I won't be at all surprised if it goes to the French film.
A Cat in Paris?
Yes.
Yes, I'm expecting it to go to A Cat in Paris. Where I'd like to see it go is to Rango. I like Gore Verbinski, and I thought Rango was one of the best westerns to come along in a long time, even though it wasn't a western.
That's okay. I thought Cars 2 was one of the better spy films that's come along in a while. And it wasn't a spy film.
I agree.
So, we are in agreement. Cat in Paris.
Cat in Paris.
Which brings us to the big categories. Working our way to the top, we'll start out with Best Supporting Actress. The nominees are...
Bernice Bijou, The Artist as Peppy Miller. Jessica Chastain, The Help as Celia Foote. Melissa McCarthy, Bridesmaids as Megan Price. Janet McTeer, Albert Nobbs as Hubert Page. Octavia Spencer, The Help as Minnie Jackson.
Well, we can take Melissa and toss her right off the list because she was in a comedy.
Of course, she would be my first choice.
Because she was in a comedy.
Yeah, she was in a comedy, which is frankly highly overrated, but she was the star.
Unfortunately... The last woman who won for being in a comedy was Marissa Tomei, and that was almost 2 decades ago for My Cousin Vinny. But she was great in My Cousin Vinny.
There wasn't a bad moment in that film. That was a piece of serendipity.
The Help is hedging its bets, and I'll give it credit. It's one of the few movies on the lists that I've actually heard about, so it gets bonus points there. Octavia Spencer won the Screen Actors Guild Award. So, I'm going to go with Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, I'm not going to rock the boat on this. I'm going to go with Octavia Spencer.
And again, at least it's one that showed up on the people's radar, so I guess we can't complain about that one. I also think that this is going to be one of the few ones that the artist doesn't win, but we'll talk more about that later.
Next category on our list is Best Supporting Actor, and the nominees are...
Kenneth Branagh. My Week with Marilyn as Laurence Olivier. Jonah Hill in Moneyball as Peter Brand. Nick Nolte in Warrior as Paddy Conlon. Christopher Plummer in Beginners as Hal Fields. And Max Van Sydow in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close as The Renter.
This is interesting. This is a year where I would like to see every single one of these people win the Academy Award.
Even Jonah Hill?
Yeah. I actually like Jonah Hill.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
It's funny to me that Christopher Plummer and Max von Sydow got nominated the same year in the same category, because I find them to be so similar as actors that they're almost interchangeable. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just they both have this immediate commanding presence to them that if you're looking for that je ne sais quoi, they both have it.
Yeah, it's weird because I look at this list and I think to myself, Kenneth Branagh is due. He's paid his dues. Nick Nolte has paid his dues. Christopher Plummer has paid his dues. Max von Sydow has paid his dues, and he's won. But he's getting up there in age, so they might want to give him another one, because they're not sure how much longer he's going to be around for. We've seen that trend before. Jonah Hill, he hasn't paid his dues. I don't care how much you like him. He doesn't have the film cred that these other actors do.
You know, if this were the Pop Culture Awards, I would say instantly it was going to be Jonah Hill.
Unfortunately, you're right. If this was our awards, I'd give it to Kenneth Branagh. But that's because I'm a huge Kenneth Branagh fan.
I think Kenneth Branagh is brilliant as an actor and a director. I would give this award to him on a gold platter.
I like Kenneth Branagh so much that I'm not even going to hold Thor against him.
Thor wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that good either.
No, it wasn't.
Again, I'm going to point to the Screen Actors Guild Awards and say that Christopher Plummer is probably going to get it for Beginners.
I haven't seen any of these, so it looks like I'm going to have to just tuck my tail between my legs and call it Christopher Plummer.
As far as the not seen list goes, seeing that Kenneth Branagh played Laurence Olivier makes me at least interested in seeing My Week with Marilyn when it comes on HBO. That's the price that I'd be willing to pay for it.
I agree with you. I would see anything with Kenneth Branagh. Wouldn't necessarily pay for everything, but I would see it.
I do have every intention of seeing Moneyball, even though Jonah Hill is in it, because I like the premise of the film. It's one of those few on this list that I sit there and go, that actually bears some resemblance to some of the things I'm interested in.
Oh, maybe we'll have to sit down and do a Moneyball podcast. As a baseball fan, I don't typically like necessarily dramas, but I like baseball.
I love baseball. That's why I'm interested. Nick Nolte in Warrior, I really don't have any interest in seeing it. I saw The Wrestler. I saw The Fighter. I liked The Fighter better than The Wrestler, but seeing a movie about mixed martial arts doesn't interest me at all. Beginners is probably the lowest one on the list of interest to see. I know nothing about it. This is the movie on the list that is completely out of my perception range. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, I've heard a little bit about. I saw 2 weeks' worth of commercials, and that was about it. But it's about 9/11, and it stars Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. So, again, when it comes out on DVD or on HBO, I would probably take the time to sit down and watch it.
No, I can miss anything with Tom Hanks in it.
Oh, I forgot that you are not a Tom Hanks fan. Our next category is Best Actress. And the nominees are
Glenn Close in Albert Nobbs as Albert Nobbs. Viola Davis in The Help as Abilene Clark. Rooney Mara in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as Elizabeth Salander. Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady as Margaret Thatcher. Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn as Marilyn Monroe.
Can we just throw Glenn Close out to start with?
I'd like to throw her out the window.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Take her up to the top of the Sears Tower and throw her out the window. I've never liked Glenn Close as an actress. Actually, I take that back. I have seen her in one role that I really enjoyed her in, and that was in Hook.
Oh, that was incredibly funny.
Have not seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Though I've heard a lot of people saying a lot of good things about it. But she is the new face on this list, and up against these other contenders, I don't think she really stands a chance.
She would be, on this list, my first choice. Being that new face, and from honestly only seeing the trailers and the reviews, I would really like to see Rooney Mara get it.
With all the names on this list, I'd really like to see her get it too. She's not going to get it. I don't think she has a chance with these other people. Meryl Streep is the Oscars' bridesmaid. Always a runner-up, never the winner. Michelle Williams, I just don't think she has a chance. Even with the sympathy votes of losing her pseudo-husband and him winning the Academy Award posthumously, I don't think that's going to be enough to get her the votes to win this. Which leaves us Viola Davis. I think she's going to win. Again, Screen Actors Guild hasn't led me astray in the past couple of years, so she gets my vote.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one and say I think Meryl Streep is going to get it. I realize I'm going out on a limb for her, but I'm going to take that chance.
You're going to spin that cylinder, huh?
You got it.
Okay. You'll pick Meryl Streep. I'm going to go with Viola Davis for Best Actress.
The Best Actor Award, the nominees are...
Damien Bashir in A Better Life as Carlos Galindo. George Clooney in The Descendants as Matt King. Jean Dujardin in The Artist as George Valentin. Gary Oldman in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as George Smiley. And Brad Pitt in Moneyball as Billy Bean.
There's two people in here who I really like to see get it. That's George Clooney and Gary Oldman. I'm a huge fan of both. Clooney has really shown his mettle over the years. I think he's got some acting chops. Gary Oldman, he's been in everything. He's just an incredible actor. I'd love to see him get recognized.
I'm going to go you one better. Gary Oldman hasn't only been in everything. He's played everything. He is one of the few people on this list who can be that versatile actor. You need a Commissioner Gordon? Call on Gary Oldman. You need somebody to play Sirius Black? Call Gary Oldman. You need somebody to be a convincing and believable and likable Barney? I'll bet you Gary Oldman could pull that off too. He can transform himself into whatever character you want. I don't think the same can be said for the other people on this list.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And unfortunately, it makes Gary Oldman the character actor, which is a kiss of death at the Academy. Part of me would like to see Brad Pitt get it, just because it's anti-pretentious.
I don't know. I think it's the epitome of pretentiousness. And besides, does the guy really need an Oscar on top of everything else? He's married to Angelina Jolie. He lives in Europe. The guy has everything already. He's like the Tom Brady of the movie industry. He's got so much already that I almost have to hate him.
That's a good way to describe him. He does seem to have a little bit of everything. I'd like to see him get an Oscar. I don't know if, you know, I could justify it given the crowd of actors that he's going up against. I know he's an A-lister, and I've liked some of the movies he's done, but mostly I just ignore him.
If he were to have won an Oscar, I would have rather him won it for Benjamin Button a few years ago, more than Moneyball. So I'd like to see him get another Benjamin Button-type role, and then win it for that. Same thing with George Clooney. George Clooney's been in a lot of good stuff. He's gotten nominated several times. I don't know that The Descendants is his best work yet. And I definitely don't think it's better than some of the stuff that he's gotten nominated for in the past. I almost get the feeling that George Clooney is just the, oh, we need to nominate somebody else. Oh, look, George made a movie this year. Let's throw his name on there. Like I said, on this list, I would much prefer Gary Oldman win, but I don't think he's going to. Instead, I think that this one's going to go to The Artist and Jean Dujardin.
I have to agree with you. I think it is going to The Artist. The Artist seems to be the flavor of the year.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie. As I said, I didn't even know it existed until it was on the nominees list. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm sitting there going, really? This is what you guys are liking this year. You didn't go with cookie dough ice cream. You didn't go with chocolate mint. You didn't go with peppermint. You're going with vanilla this year. Really? They didn't even go with Neapolitan. But, again, Screen Actors Guild Awards, Jean Dujardin. Which brings us to Best Director and Best Picture. Ever since they expanded the Best Picture list, the two don't exactly match up. There are 5 Best Director nominees and 9 Best Picture nominees. The nominees for Best Director are...
Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris. Michael Hazanavicius, The Artist. Terrence Malick, The Tree of Life. Alexander Payne, The Descendants. Martin Scorsese, Hugo.
Okay, you've got 2 very clear staples here. Woody Allen gets nominated more times than he gets ignored, but he also loses all the time. I've never been a huge Woody Allen fan, but it does seem as though they have not quite forgiven him yet for leaving his wife for his adopted daughter. Martin Scorsese is one of the pinnacles in Hollywood. Personally, I've got a few beefs about Hugo, but you can't deny that he is a big name in Hollywood. You actually saw Hugo, didn't you?
Yes. I think the only movie on this list that's more overblown than Hugo is The Artist. Hugo was absolutely average. There was nothing setting it aside as a, oh, this is a great Martin Scorsese film, or this is a great film. People loved this because it was Martin Scorsese. They did not love this because this was a good picture.
I read The Adventures of Hugo Cabret. I plan on seeing Hugo when it comes out on HBO or DVD, whichever comes first for me. But just the sheer ego involved in taking and basing a movie on a book and not using the book's title seems wrong to me.
I think that happens more often than not, actually.
When you're taking the basic concept of a book and you're putting your own twists and turns on it, yeah, that happens a lot. If you're taking the book and trying to convert it to screen, you usually want to get the fans of the book to come and see the movie. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to make sure that there's a very clear connection. The book is called The Adventures of Hugo Cabret. You call the movie The Adventures of Hugo Cabret. Now, I could see if they think that the American public is too stupid to be able to see the name Cabret and be able to pronounce it, because I think they have that little respect for the common moviegoer. But you take the title and you carry it over. If nothing else, it pays respect to the author of the book.
I mean, the kid in it was really good. And I think that Scorsese did a good job of getting acting out of children actors. But that's not enough. It was a waste of 3D.
A lot of the stuff that's out in 3D is a waste of 3D. Or should I say it's a waste of $7.50 because you're basically paying twice as much to see it in 3D.
Directors aren't used to shooting movies for 3D. They're still shooting movies for 2D. And essentially, if you got a 2D movie that studio thinks they're going to get more money for by making it 3D, they're really doing a disservice to the American public.
Just to give them their honorable mentions, all of the best pictures nominated are The Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse. I get the feeling that War Horse was Steven Spielberg's, I feel like doing an artsy film for this decade.
He does a couple of decades. And given this list on there, I kind of like to see him win.
I wouldn't mind seeing him win. I like Steven Spielberg. He's not going to win, but I wouldn't mind seeing him win. Other than The War Horse, Moneyball, and The Help, there isn't a movie on this list that I sat there and went, do I feel like dropping $7.50 to go see it in the theater? Half of the movies on this list I didn't even hear about to go see in the theater.
I'd go one step further and just go, are there any of the movies on this list that I want to spend 2 hours of my life on? Let's just say it was free. Free HBO weekend. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't want to see The Descendants. I don't want to see Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. I don't want to see The Help. I'd like to get my 2 hours back for Hugo. I don't want to say that Hugo was a bad movie. Don't get me wrong, it was no Highlander the Source. But I would rather spend those 2 hours, like, maybe masturbating or something that I would enjoy.
See, I was hoping that you were going to say playing with your daughter or spending time with your wife. You had to go there.
You know, if it comes to going right to the gutter, that's my job. I have no interest in Midnight in Paris. Okay, Moneyball. As a baseball fan, I would like to see a baseball movie, so I'd actually spend my 2 hours on that. Don't want to see Tree of Life, don't want to see War Horse.
And when you're looking at a list like this of movies that are the best picture, and you have trouble naming a single one of them that you'd be willing to pay time for, let alone money, it's too pretentious of a list. All of that being said, as we've said multiple times already, this year is going to go to The Artist. It's going to win both Best Picture and Best Director.
Yeah, I'd definitely say it's getting the Best Picture. I'm half torn between, will they split the picture and director category this year? Will Scorsese get it for Hugo as a director? He is a favorite, but I'll hedge my bets and go with The Artist anyways.
That's the safe bet. I will go so far as to say that I really hope that Martin Scorsese gets to do another film after this so that Hugo isn't his last film.
I'm sure as long as he's breathing, he's going to be making films.
So those are who we think that the Oscars are going to give awards to. Those are not the movies that we think were the best this year. Now, keep in mind that Doug and I have very eclectic tastes. We are not pretentious enough to sit there and go, the movie that we liked the best is the movie that everybody should have liked the best. These are the movies that made us glad that we spent the money to go see it in the theater. These are the movies that we would want to buy on DVD so that we could go back and watch it again and again and again.
That's fair enough.
My best films for this year are all genre films, which should come as no surprise to anybody. I loved Captain America: The First Avenger. That was by far my favorite movie this year. The love and affection that the writers and the director had for the source material came through. They told a very good story that even if you had no idea who Captain America was, you could follow what was going on and understand the story. And if you are a comic book fan, they put in just enough Easter eggs to make you get giddy in your seat. When I saw the Human Torch in the glass cylinder, I literally giggled from joy. Right behind that was The Muppets. It was a great family film. I thoroughly enjoyed sitting and watching it with my mother, with my sister, and with my niece. We all enjoyed it. It was one of those cross-generational films that everybody was able to enjoy. And just on general principle, I loved Paul. Paul was just fun. It was funny. It was a tribute to science fiction fans everywhere.
I like your picks, Jim. I have to say, really, overall, 2011 was kind of a dud for me. There were films that I enjoyed, but there was nothing that really stands out at me as, wow, this is an incredible movie that is going to last for generations. Even Captain America, which was a very good film. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the final Harry Potter film. I probably enjoyed Green Lantern more than you did, but I can't say that any one of them sticks out as, wow, this is really great. Paul makes me laugh my ass off. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are just geniuses.
I think we said in the Paul cast that they are kind of like the Bud Abbott and Lou Costello of our generation. You know, they just make such a great comedy team.
And they're great with the pop culture references also. They kind of amaze me as a couple of nerds who did very well.
A lot of times I've been hearing Simon Pegg being referred to as the nerd who made it.
He admits it himself. His book is called Nerd Duel.
I think down the line, we're probably going to be able to sit there and go, you know, I can't remember a Simon Pegg film I didn't enjoy.
I'm trying to think what he's been in. I know he's in two of the Mission Impossible movies. He's in Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Out of all of the films that I can recall seeing him in, Run, Fat Boy, Run was probably the one that I enjoyed the least, but I still enjoyed it a lot.
How to Lose Friends?
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, which, again, it wasn't his normal fare, but he was good in it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How about worst movies? Let me qualify this again. We don't see everything. In fact, I could go so far as to say we barely see a fraction of the stuff that comes out. We spend our hard-earned money just like you do. So the really horrendous stuff, we don't waste our money on. Neither one of us were going to go and see Piranha 3D just to see how bad it was. So for me, the worst picks are movies that I saw, and I regretted seeing because I kind of felt like I was tricked into seeing them.
The only one that I see on your list that surprises me is Winnie the Pooh.
That was a very difficult one to add to my list because Winnie the Pooh is classic. And I rented Winnie the Pooh so that I could sit down with my family and watch it and kind of reminisce and enjoy classic characters retold in a new story. Kind of like with the Muppets. But as we were sitting and watching it, we were all just kind of sitting there going, really, have these characters been this stupid all along and we just didn't realize it because we were too young? My niece and I were both sitting there going, we feel like our intelligence is being drained just by watching this. And it got to the point where it was painful. We were very glad that the movie was 55 minutes long so that we wouldn't have to suffer through more of it. And I hate to say that about a classic like Winnie the Pooh, but these writers just, it was bad.
One that surprises me that's not on your list, although I realize you didn't see it in 2011, it was Conan.
Conan came very close to being on this list. You and I sat down, we were watching it very recently on DVD, and it was bad. It was so bad that I gained a whole new level of respect for Arnold as an actor. But as close as it came, it still wasn't as bad as these other films.
Which are?
Obviously, Winnie the Pooh, the quote-unquote comedies, Hall Pass, and Bad Teacher.
Yeah, I just avoided Hall Pass and Bad Teacher. I had no interest in seeing them at all. Winnie the Pooh, before your review, I would have seen. Tried to encourage my 9-year-old to go see it, but she had no interest.
One of those rare circumstances where your 9-year-old having no interest in something probably saved you a good deal of time and frustration.
Yes.
As opposed to giving you frustration.
Obviously, the one that would be on my list is Conan. Other than that, I pretty much stuck to what I knew I'd like.
The fact that Conan is on your list doesn't surprise me, seeing that you got up halfway through the movie and left. Hall Pass was just a dumb concept, and I don't know why I rented it. It was a free rental, so at least I can feel good in the fact that I didn't waste money on it. I ended up working on other things about a quarter of the way through, so I don't even really feel like I wasted the time on it either. But the fact that I wanted to do other things instead of watch this movie says wonders. And Bad Teacher, honestly, I rented because it had Cameron Diaz in it. And, yeah, it was just bad.
Says so right in the title.
So, those are our picks for this year. Here's looking forward to the MTV Movie Awards, where we may actually have heard about some of the movies that are nominated and actually care about them. Unfortunately, as I said before, it's probably going to be ruined by Twilight winning Best Picture again.
Oh well, those movies will get finished eventually. Although maybe next year we could look forward to Hunger Games winning.
That would be sweet. I am really looking forward to that film. I loved the books. The trailers that I've seen look as though they're going to be very loyal to the source material. That is going to be one that I'm going to catch in the theaters, and my hope is that we can do a Torpcast on it to promote it. 2012 looks as though it's going to have a lot of good stuff. I'm really looking forward to The Avengers. I'm really looking forward to The Dark Knight Rises.
You know, the one that I'm not looking forward to is The Amazing Spider-Man. I've seen the trailer. It looks like roadkill.
Yes, I agree. It kind of looks like roadkill. Which is still a step up than what I was thinking before I saw the trailers. Here's hoping that 2012 is a great year for movies.
Here's hoping. As always, we thank you for listening to Twerpcast, and we encourage your feedback. Please write Jim at twerponline.net. We can also be found on Facebook, MySpace, Zanga, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Twerpcast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2012. That silence that you hear is our dedication to the artist.